President Andrzej Duda, thank you so much for this very warm welcome. And it is really an honor and a great pleasure to be in Warsaw at the eve of the very important summit, which is going to take place here tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. The first country I visited after I became Secretary General of NATO was Poland and Warsaw, just a few days after I started as Secretary General. And I've been back several times, but this is my most important visit so far, because it is at the eve of a very important summit for all of us. And this is a defining moment for our security. The world is a more dangerous place than just a few years ago. And NATO is responding with speed and with determination. We have tripled the size of the NATO response force. We have established new headquarters in the east and further developed key capabilities like ballistic missile and defense against threats from outside the Euro-Atlantic area. Tomorrow and on Saturday, we will take new major steps to further modernize our collective defense and deterrence and to project stability beyond our borders. This will include more military presence here in Poland, as well as in Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. Our presence will be multinational and a clear message that an attack on one ally is an attack on the whole alliance. We will also step up our response to threats from the south, boost our support to partners, increase our resilience against hybrid and cyber threats, and take our cooperation with the European Union to an ambitious new level. So this will be a landmark summit in Warsaw and an important summit in the history of our alliance. And it is fitting that we meet in Warsaw, a city that knows the pain of conflict and the fundamental value of security, and a city that embodies the spirit of a proud nation and a forward-looking nation. Poland has overcome a difficult past as it looks to the future. And since joining NATO 70 years ago, Poland has become a driving force within our alliance. You make important contributions to our operations and exercises. You host key NATO facilities like our multinational core Northeast. You host one of our new headquarters and a site for our ballistic missile defense system. And you are among the top performing allies on defense spending. So President Duda, Poland is an ally that leads by example. I commend you for your dedication to our alliance, and thank you, the people of Poland and the city of Warsaw, for hosting us and the summit. Over the coming days, the Warsaw Summit will demonstrate the unity and the strength of our alliance and the strength that has characterized the alliance for almost 70 years. And the decisions we will take will make us stronger and more prepared than ever for the challenges we face. So once again, thank you so much for hosting me, and thank you so much for hosting a landmark summit for the alliance.
Thank you very much, Mr. President and Secretary General. We respond to four questions from the press. Tomasz Majka, the radio agency. Tomasz Majka, Polish Radio. The question to both politicians. We know that after the summit, right after the summit, there will be a NATO-Russia Council at the level of ambassadors. The question is, when will a meeting at a higher level take place, and what would have to happen to make sure that such a NATO-Russia meeting at a higher political level does take place? Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, one simple thing has to happen on the way. things which are most important for peace have to be reinstated. Respect for international law, in other words. Russia is our great neighbor, and the moment it starts to respect international law, will we be able to talk about a partner adopted for a serious dialogue who fulfills the basic, the most crucial and fundamental condition, which is a state with whom one can discuss in a serious way? So this is number one. Number two, another element is what NATO should do in order to be a true partner of Russia. So it has to demonstrate what I have just referred to, that it is living, that it responds to the evolving security situation, that if a need arises, it is capable of providing an adequate response, and that in connection with that, it conducts such a policy which demonstrates its effectiveness, efficiency, and strength and adequate measures. And by doing all of that, it is able to maintain the peace. These are the two most important elements. And the first link which has to be there is the implementation of Minsk agreements. Today, it is of absolutely fundamental nature. Let us see what has happened. There was an aggression against Ukraine perpetrated by Russia, because I think nobody has got any doubt that the so-called little green men or separatists are people who are connected with Russia and they're inspired there. We have seen the occupation and annexation of Crimea. So I think it is quite obvious what international community, especially what North Atlantic Alliance, expects from Russia today to conduct a constructive and serious dialogue.
After the illegal annexation of Crimea in 2014, NATO suspended all practical cooperation with Russia, and we embarked on the largest reinforcement of our collective defense since the end of the Cold War. But we did not suspend the political dialogue with Russia. Actually, we decided to keep the challenge for political dialogue open, and we decided to maintain the NATO-Russia Council as a tool, as a platform for political dialogue with Russia. Because we strongly believe that there is no contradiction between strong defense and deterrence and political dialogue. Actually, we believe that if and as long as we have strong defense and deterrence, then we also have a platform for engaging politically with Russia. So we have met with Russia at ambassadorial level. We did that in April. We will do that next week. Before that, we also met at ministerial level, and we also met at the level of heads of states some years ago. I think we have to take this step by step. I think now we have to focus on our next meeting at ambassadorial level next week, and then we have to take it step by step, assessing whether we also should aim for a meeting at higher level, at ministerial level. But I think it's too early to speculate on when that can take place. My message is that we never suspended the political dialogue with Russia. Allies also meet on the political level with different political representatives of Russia. We will continue to also then use the NATO-Russia Council as an important platform for political dialogue with Russia.
Dziękuję bardzo. Wiktor Szary, Reuters.
Dziękuję bardzo.
Thank you very much, Viktor Sharab, Reuters. You said, both of you gentlemen, that the eastern flank of NATO will be strengthened. I would like to ask you about a concrete flashpoint on the eastern flank, the so-called Suwałki Gap. If we look at the new NATO forces in the east, will they be able to secure the Suwałki Gap if there is an aggression? And how close to the Suwałki Gap the American battle group will be, which is supposed to be stationed in Poland? Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, you asked a very detailed question, so let me answer in the following way. The whole point is that NATO should function in such a way, and NATO should build its security architecture in such a way, architecture of cooperation and its efficiency, to make sure that there are no such places which we can refer to as weak links. Only then we will be able to say that NATO indeed is effective, that it is functional. I'm not talking only in the context of Poland. I'm talking about the whole world, so that we do not have such weak links anywhere in the territory of the alliance. I'm sure that thanks to the decisions which we will take tomorrow, and thanks to the following decisions which will implement those decisions which we take over the next 2 days in Warsaw, such a state will create such an adequate state of security.
The decision to enhance NATO's forward presence with four robust multinational battalions, one in Poland and one in each of the Baltic countries, sends a very clear signal that NATO is ready to protect and defend every part of our territory. And that, of course, also goes for every part of Poland. And I think it is important to remember that the battalions which we will deploy to the eastern part of the alliance, they are an important message because they are multinational, sending the clear message that an attack on one ally will be met by the response of the whole alliance. I think also it is important to remember that the battalions, the enhanced forward presence, is only one element in a comprehensive response from NATO. We have already done a lot when it comes to increased readiness and responsiveness of our forces. We have tripled the size of the NATO response force, and we have established a new spearhead force which can be deployed in a matter of days. We will also have more pre-positioned equipment, supplies, and we also do more training, and we have increased increased the speed of our decision-making if needed. So all of this enables us both to have more forces in this part of the alliance, in Poland and the Baltic countries, but it also enables us to reinforce forces quickly if needed. And that's and that sends a very clear signal that we defend the whole alliance. Exactly where the new battalions are going to be located is not yet decided. That's an issue which is now worked on by our military commander, Sokur, Supreme Allied Commander Europe, and the host nation, Poland. So that will be decided later in a dialogue between NATO, NATO's military commanders and the host nations.
Dziękuję bardzo. Piotr Witkowski, Polsat.
Thank you very much. Piotr Witkowski from Polsat. The question for Jens Stoltenberg. In the hall leading to the main meeting launch of NATO, there is an exhibition which is dedicated to the remembrance of the victims of the Smolensk crash. Was it consulted with NATO? Didn't NATO have any objections or reservations to present such pictures which depict coffins of the victims? Didn't NATO have any objections to showing those pictures so that all the delegates entering this room can see that exhibition?
This is a Polish exhibition, and I very much understand that this is important for Poland, and we were informed about this exhibition. And I understand that this is important for Poland because this is a national tragedy, and we all understand the importance of this natural tragedy for Poland.
Dziękuję bardzo. Magdalena Piejko.
Thank you very much. Magdalena Piejko from Gazeta Polska. My question is about the Brexit referendum. Will this referendum have an influence on UK's participation in the summit? Will it have an impact on the solidarity, which you mentioned at the beginning of the conference?
The UK vote will, of course, change UK's relationship with the European Union, but it will not change UK's position within NATO. UK will continue as a strong and committed NATO ally. The government of the UK, David Cameron, has very clearly stated that. And that is important because the United Kingdom is a key ally, providing close to one quarter of the defence spending among European NATO allies, and an ally which is key when it comes to many different NATO operations and missions, and they are a lead nation for our new high readiness response force, and they will also be a lead nation for one of the battalions in one of the Baltic countries. And the UK has strongly reaffirmed and confirmed that they will stand by all their NATO commitments, and of course it will not affect their participation in the summit. They will be here as planned, and they will continue in as a full member of NATO. It will in no way change their position in NATO.
Ladies and gentlemen, not all NATO member states are members of the European Union, especially the strongest ally is not a member of the European Union. Not all members of the European Union are members of NATO. Therefore, one can say in a very clear and frank way, because I think it is nothing new, that these are two different organizations, and membership of lack of membership in a different organization does not change anything in the other organization. Therefore, the UK, no matter what its further fate is within the European Union, and this decision will be taken by the British Parliament and the British government, first of all. So no matter what decisions will be taken, the UK remains to be a member of NATO, one of the strongest armed forces within NATO. And I have no doubt whatsoever that the cooperation with the UK, its potential and its activity within NATO will stay at least at the same level. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. Secretary General. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.